The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here. Been talking a lot of Deshaun and a lot of Astros trades. LJ wants to get in here and talk about the trades. What's up, LJ?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, generally, I'd say, you know, I thought they were good moves. Obviously, it made the team better. I mean, they're modest. My two sort of complaints, and then I ask you guys for some help, but one is just, like, these are not aggressive moves. I really get my concern with Glick is you hear all the time about we're being aggressive, and then, oh, we went shopping at Value Village. Like, the Dodgers are aggressive, Padres are aggressive, Yankees are aggressive. These are not aggressive moves. They might be smart moves, but they're not aggressive moves. I'd like to see them do something aggressive because you don't know what the future holds. You have a chance to win a World Series now. The only other complaint for me, and this is personal preference thing, but I feel like the biggest hole is center field. I don't think Jake is an everyday center fielder for a World Series team, and I don't think he's going to be the future of this club. So that's something that I would like to see them address. And then the request is just, what are Mancini and Vasquez's numbers against the Yankees specifically? Because it feels like maybe that might have something to do with why those two guys were targeted, which would make the moves a lot better. That's all I've got.
All right. Appreciate it. I think Mancini destroys the Yankees, doesn't he? His numbers against the Yankees are.
I think that's one of the reasons.
I think that's one, yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a reason it should do it, but I think that's that might be the case. I've got to check.
I'm looking right. I'll find that out for you.
I'm looking at Vasquez's career from a split standpoint against the Yankees. And certainly Vasquez has seen the Yankees a lot. So when it comes to, you know, handling the pitching staff, he knows these Yankee hitters without question. So that's kind of an interesting thing, you know, topic to bring up. I hadn't really thought about the Yankee angle since the Astros are the Yankees' daddies and have been for quite some time now. But against the Yankees, por ejemplo, Christian Vasquez hits .242 with a .680 OPS. Not great. Below his average. Strikes out at a pace of a little bit more than 3-1. And he's got 9 career home runs and 290 at-bats, which is okay by his standards, which is kind of average. So, I don't know that that's it.
So this year, Mancini is 5-for-25 against the Yankees, 200, 259 on base, 240 slugging. I mean, it's not great.
What did he do last year?
499 OPS. I don't know what his career is.
What did he do last year?
I can do a 3-year thing.
Yeah, look at the last 3 years.
Okay.
ESPN does a 3-year.
I've got 21.
Baseball reference.
Last year, he hit .207, .706 OPS against them at Yankee Stadium, not against them, but at Yankee Stadium. And then the year before, .895 OPS in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So this year he's a little bit off.
I don't think these moves are targeted for the Yankees specifically. They're just targeted for the lineup, Astros lineup. That's what this is. And you're right. They did go to Value Village. That's where they went. And James Click may not be very aggressive. Maybe Jim Crane may not be very aggressive. He's done it in the past, but a very specific, when he had never won a World Series and wanted to win one, I think Jim Crane could legitimately, realistically look at this lineup this year, look at the team and say, we're one of the top teams in baseball. Why am I going to gut some of our prospects and potentially lose some of our pitchers to get a rental? That never made sense to me, to rent a player and lose a legitimate young starting pitcher. That just didn't sit well with me. That's not what you typically do. And it didn't feel like something the Astros would do. And it's not going to be something they do. They're not doing that. They're not giving you a legitimate under team control pitcher, even if it's through arbitration, which costs a lot less. They're more value village than aggressive shoppers. That's who they are. We can't keep going back to something that happened 5 years ago with Justin Verlander and saying they're aggressive. Now, the Gerrit Cole move in the offseason, you don't have as much attention. You know, you wait until the trade deadline, you're up against it, becomes a seller's market, yeah. And you're up against it. You do it in the offseason, like with Gerrit Cole, you have it's a little more leverage for the buyer at that time. I think the Astros will look at something like that maybe. I do not think the Astros are going – it's just not their nature to go out there and make moves that they think don't make sense.
It made sense to get rid of Odorizzi. I mean,
you got a left-hand pitcher for him.
You got
a left-hand reliever.
You did get a left-hand reliever that has really, really not been good this year.
Well,
that's a problem. But you know what? Sometimes a new scenery helps out. A new way to grip a baseball grip it tighter.
Strom isn't here anymore. There's more stuff on the baseball.
Strom's
not here anymore. But Javier's got this insane strikeout per nine. Fromber is still going at an incredible rate with quality starts. Verlander maybe has never been better. That's without Strom. So you have to trust the staff that they can continue to make pitchers better when they get them.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith was fine last year.
No, he was really good last year. No, really good. He was. We remember him in a World Series. Remember? Yeah, he was really, really good last year. So, I think they got better yesterday. I do. I believe that. I know where they went basement bargain shopping, but that's fine. You know what? They didn't give up anything either. Basically nothing they've given up.
They didn't give up nothing. Much at all.
They got better. They just got better yesterday, and here we go. And today, there's still a bunch of stuff. Now, the Yankees got better as well when they picked up Benintendi, and they also picked up Frankie Montas. So that's a problem. Somebody said, when is John going to get the Yankees out of his mouth or something? Something ugly.
We're not scared of the Yankees, John. What? Stop.
Wait. Mancini and Vasquez don't kill the Yankees at all. Well, they have had better years than this year against them. They have had better years against them. And, you know, guess what? Boston did kill them, and Vasquez played a part in that.
Well, speaking of Vasquez, by the way, you know, the concern has been with Maldonado potentially out of the lineup, how would the pitching staff, how would they react to that? Because Maldonado has been a very good defensive catcher. Although more pass balls and wild pitches that shouldn't have gotten by him. He had one with Fromber the other day. He's just not been quite as good with some of those things. But one thing we found out from Chris from Machete from Maldonado is that he and Vasquez actually go back a little ways.
You know, we used to work out together before he moved to Florida, and we played winter ball together. We talk a lot, and we have a really, really good friendship.
What does he bring to the clubhouse?
A lot of energy, energy, experience, a gamer, you know, got to work hard. You know, he brings a lot to the clubhouse. You know, a guy who won the World Series, played many playoff games. He brings a lot.
Have they told you anything about playing time, how it'll be split or anything?
They haven't. You know, I don't know if they're going to have that conversation or not. Maybe they're waiting until he gets here or something. I don't know. I can't say anything about that. That's probably Dusty or James' call.
In total, what do you think about what James did today? Just all the trades he made?
I'm not aware of two trades. I don't know what else he made. So.
Okay. Well. Mancini.
Oh, Mancini is huge. Mancini is a great bat. Guy that, you know, played multiple positions. A guy that, you know, was a tough out to get out when we played them.
in the past, you know, a guy that can hit the ball at the ballpark anywhere, and also do inside the parker.
Have you had a chance to talk with Vasquez since the game?
Yeah, just talked to him. I'm going to pick him up tomorrow, bring him to the field.
So first thing I want to say is you can tell he has acid reflux. His voice is going right there. Like, you can tell he has acid reflux. So let me just get that out of the way, because I know that's what all of y'all are thinking. Number two.
I have acid reflux, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great for your voice.
No.
Energy, experience, gamer are the three words that Maldonado used to describe Vasquez. That's got to be tough. He's asked about a guy who was brought in, because when you know somebody is brought in because the team is unhappy with elements of your game, and now you're being and that guy's your friend, and now they're going to people are going to ask about, so tell us what the new guy who's going to replace you brings to the table. What does he do mm-hmm. that you can't do?
It.
So are you excited? Like, tell us, have you talked to him yet, your new teammate? Yeah. y'all know that I'm not going to play as much now, right? I'm not super excited right now. So what do you bring?
And like, he's not that excited either.
Give us an idea of what can we expect. Like, we're also very excited to have him batting and not you. He's got it good. He's fine, you know. He's. Do I have to? Can I talk about Mancini?
Well, I like Mancini.
Mancini's good bat. Mancini's really positions. Good. He's the guy we really needed more than anything was Yuli's position.
And Odorizzi's gone? Yeah, that's good. That's really good. That guy complained.
It's got to be tough for Maldonado in that position.
I think Yuli Maldonado, too.
Wouldn't shock me if Maldonado becomes a manager at some point in Major League Baseball. He's got a great personality.
Yeah, yeah.
He's guys smart. Love him. He sees the game. Yeah, yep. Guys love him. I could see him. But I did not see where Yuli, we've got no sound on Yuli talking about anybody. So he can't be very excited either. It's weird. It's really weird where the batting in 1 year, you have to go from hitting champ and one of the best that's ever done it with the bases loaded and men in scoring position to we've got to go get Trey Mancini because you're not good enough. Like, that's just it's hard to wrap your head around. But that's what happened.
Well, yesterday. This fall has been precipitous for him. And we got some other comments about some of the stuff that we've been talking about. We'll get to on the other side. Underdog is what we're talking about now, though, being an underdog.
Being Underdog Fantasy, if you want to take a look at what they're offering you for the Best Ball Mania 3. Best Ball Mania 3, what is that? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Best Ball, look, I won my little $15 head-to-head baseball draft yesterday. Played in a two-person head-to-head baseball draft. They've got three-man, four-man, six-team fantasy baseball. I did one for $15 and got the W there. I'm just looking at my account. But you can go to Best Ball Mania 3, and that is a prize pool of $10 million. There's 451,200 entrants in it right now. You get 30 seconds between picks. What you do is you draft your team, your quarterbacks, your running backs, wide receivers, tight end, defense. I don't think they have defense, but you draft it, and then every week, whoever your highest score is from those position groups, that's your score. You don't have to set your lineup. You don't have to make free agency moves. You don't get to. As a matter of fact, you draft your lineup, you set it, and you forget it. And your score will be your score, and you can continue to monitor it throughout the year. But I will say, through the first round, weeks 1 through 14, the winner's going to get $1 million. And then after that, the final totals, you've got a chance to get part of that $10 million prize package that's in there. All you have to do is sign up for $25. You get your shot. And here's the great thing. They're going to match up to $100. They'll match your deposit. You put 50 in, you're going to get 100 total, right? You put 100 in, you're going to get 200. Why don't you put 100 in right now and get 8 entries? That's 8 entries at $25 a piece into Best Ball Mania 3. You got a better chance of winning that than the lottery. Jump in. You got a real chance, if you're skilled, to make money on underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code Lance to get your match.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
I can make it. can make it dance, 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 dance.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Wow. John Heyman reports the Padres and Nats are talking about a package of both Soto and Bell. And word is they're being aggressive. Wow. What do you have to give up to get Soto and Bell?
Yeah, you can't. But, well, Bell's a throw-in. So that would mean that Washington overplayed their hands. You've got to include him as part of that deal.
Or they're giving you their
entire minor league system.
Yeah, right.
Padres are super aggressive.
Does the fact that the Astros look so good against the Yankees play into Crane's thinking that this team doesn't need a shock move? Possibly. Possibly. It's a pretty good team. Do we want to be as aggressive? Somebody said, what do you mean you're not? They weren't aggressive. They went out and got a first baseman, they got a catcher, and they got a left-handed reliever. They were being aggressive.
The left-hand reliever is not a plus player. You get rid of one contract for another
contract. He has been a very plus player in the past.
Yeah, you're betting on the past. That's not an aggressive move, well, necessarily.
And, yeah.
And Vasquez,
you gave up your seventh starter for him.
Vasquez is, when you talk about very aggressive, no, I think they were frugal but efficient with what they did. I don't hate it. Honestly, I just wasn't in favor of giving up guys that would hurt you from... You don't have a super deep minor league system, and I didn't want to see a young pitcher get traded. Up to this point, that hasn't happened, and I don't think it's going to.
Yeah, no, one of these starters, the Urquidy, the Garcia, or Javier's? No, that didn't happen. So to me, it was a positive. Because if you had given up for a Josh Bell, if you had to give up an Urquidy or a Javier or a Garcia, that would have been a loss. That would have been a loss. Because those guys are going to be, you got them under control. And that's not a Jim Crane move anyway. This talk about Javier really and Urquidy and Garcia, when you got them under team control and you're getting the value that you have in those guys for what they are making and what you're paying them, what you're
the
paying them and what
numbers,
they're, yes, it's ridiculous.
From an analytics standpoint or off the charts.
Yes, yes.
I mean, from a value standpoint.
Right. You know, what did you think of the guys they gave up for Vasquez? I don't know. They gave up a couple of minor league arms. I hadn't heard of the guy, so I have no idea. But we'll see if they turn out. Hey, it's turned out that Joe Musgrove has turned into a pretty darn good pitcher.
It's amazing how much
really?
Money he's
got. I know. Yeah. I mean, and it's amazing how good he's gotten. I mean, he's a stalwart, and it looks like they're going to pay him a bunch of money coming up here. So good on him. And that was Josh Hader got traded as well. Josh Hader was a guy that you gave up, and you had no idea. So maybe one of these guys will turn out to be a good major. And then again, maybe you'll never hear from him again.
Here's Willier Abreu was a double A.
Right.
Was in double A. His numbers this year, batting average against was .249. His OPS against was .858. Not great. That's in Corpus Christi at the double A level. At the A plus level, he was an .857. I mean, he's been around for a while and really has not taken off. So I don't think that's going to hurt you much. In terms of Emmanuel Valdez, he's been in the Astros organization since 2000, or he's been in minor league baseball since 2016. So we're now in 2022. His batting average against this year is .357 with an OPS of .1112. John, last I checked, that's not great. A batting average against for a pitcher of .357 and an OPS of .1112. That's what the Astros gave up. So, you know, not much.
Right.
Not much for Christian Vasquez. Holy crap. That's unbelievable. This year, and look, it's not been great for that pitcher since 2019 for Emmanuel Valdez. He's 5'9", 191 pounds, left-hander.
Well, this is Reagan says the pitcher we traded for Mancini was our second best arm in the minors.
What am I doing?
What are you doing? That's who you're
getting. He's an infielder.
Oh.
I'm looking at these numbers like, oh, this is terrible. And Manuel's got a 350. He's given up 357. No, that's actually what he's hitting.
Oh.
357 in Manuel.
The pitcher we traded for Mancini was our second best arm in the minors, but he was only at high A. I can't.
Who said that?
Confirm that. I don't know. Reagan said that.
For 5 years?
The pitcher we traded for Mancini was our second best arm in the minors.
5 years, and he's their second best arm. He's been there for 5 years. And he's in the IA. Well, he went to AA this year. Was not good. By the way, so, yeah, that's for Emmanuel's got an 1,100 slugging percentage.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I was wondering what 11-12, that's really good.
I'm like, wait a minute. What the hell? Yeah, and it's gotten way better since he is. He's now 23. That's not bad. He got into the system at 17. So, that's not bad. 11 home runs, 10 home runs, 20. He's got 21 home runs this year. Done pretty well in Sugar Land. Yeah, okay. In hindsight, now that I don't have, now that I'm not reading his slashes as a pitcher, he looks a whole lot better.
No, as a pitcher,
like,
that would suck.
Terrible.
As a pitcher, that would suck.
Yeah, but an 1,100 OPS is pretty decent in minor leagues. It's pretty good if you want to have an 1,100. 5'9", he's not the biggest guy, but 5'9", 191, who cares? Jose Altuve's the little guy, and look how good he is. So they've got some – they're going younger. They're betting on youth, and they're going to lose Christian Vasquez anyway. More than likely, they want to let him walk, so that's fine.
Yeah. Whatever. All right, 713-780-3776. Anyone wants to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. Otherwise, it was. I guess it was a pretty busy day. One thing, Greg Norman, just a little add-on. We are also going to have – we got Keith Law joining us. Is he joining us next? Is that next?
Yeah.
Keith Law is going to join us next. We'll ask him about the minor leaguers that the Astros lost. And then at the top of the hour, Joe Lombardi is going to join us as well here on the show.
Michael Lombardi.
Oh, Michael Lombardi. Michael Lombardi is going to join us here on the show. Greg Norman says – That Liv offered Tiger Woods between $700 and $800 million to join.
That's unbelievable.
I'm just watching stories. I'm looking at a story here about, you know, it's a good idea. It's not very good golf that's going on right now. This team concept thing, the shotgun starts. Whether or not there was a guy out there that was heckling. And he had to be restrained. They were
heckling. That was from a group of two guys called the Good Liars, where they filmed it.
Yeah,
he's like, "Do it for the royal family." The royal family.
The Saudi
royal family. And Phil had to like stop his backswing, and everyone's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" Yeah, and the guy goes, "I'm sorry. I didn't." I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, you're not sorry.
No, you're not sorry. No, you're not sorry. $700 million.
$700 to $800 million.
You have that much money.
For one.
$700 million. Tiger's like, what would I do with $700 million? Charlie's got money to last him for an eternity. Charlie's kids have money to last him for an eternity. I don't want to do this. No, no, thank you. $700 million can't. If that means, then $2 billion couldn't move Tiger.
Well, it is his legacy, and his legacy, you know, Phil's is tarnished. Dustin Johnson's, all these guys are tarnished because
Tiger
they went and took the
long
money.
Game is Liv's going to, Tiger obviously believes the long game is that Liv, Tiger's also in better financial standing than any of those
he's
guys. Got,
he's like the, I don't know how many athletes are over a B. Tiger's over a B. LeBron's over a B now.
I'm sure Michael is obviously. Tiger sees it as, in the long haul, it's not going to be worth it.
No. 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 713-780-3776. When we come back, Keith Law is going to join us here. We'll talk to him about these minor leaguers and all the trade moves coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And unfortunately, unless he's on Twitch, he's not going to be able to see me and see my hair, which is something that I'm proud of. I'm very proud of. Now, you made the case that, like, who got extensions in their hair recently?
Jimmy Butler and Fromber.
Jimmy Butler and Fromber. And you're blaming Doc Linville.
I'm blaming you.
You're blaming me because people are enjoying their hair now.
Fromber, you know, all of a sudden he's got these extensions in his hair. Jimmy Butler put it in his
Doc
hair.
Doesn't do extensions.
Ever since you got your hair, they're getting hair.
Doc Linville doesn't do extensions. Okay. He does neo-grafting where he moves the hair from the side to the top of the head. Jimmy Butler didn't need that.
Maybe they think you have extensions.
Neither did Fromber. No,
maybe Fromber thinks... Hey, who's that guy with the radio thing with got the extensions?
I don't have extensions.
Maybe he thinks you have it, but you don't.
I could, but I don't. I could do it. What if I did it? That'd be great.
Don't
do that. That would be awesome.
Or actually, yeah, do it.
Because I can now because I got hair because of one person, and that's Doc Linville. Look, if you want hair, Doc Linville can give you hair. It's Neo Grafting. It's awesome. It's a wonderful process, and you'll love it because you have hair. Look, go right now to 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
We'll take a short break.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I was wondering what you were talking about with Valdez. Valdez is a stud. I had no idea what you were reading, these stats you were reading on Valdez. I'm like, well, that's why we're getting Keith Law on.
That's right.
We get Keith Law.
That's why we needed Keith Law today here on the show. Keith Law rejoining the show from The Athletic and author of The Inside Game. Keith Law with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Keith, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We appreciate you being here with us, especially on this, the day after the big trades by the Astros. What'd you make of what the Astros did yesterday?
I think they helped the club quite a bit. I think they addressed two of the more critical needs on the roster and did so at not very significant cost. You know, getting really no offensive production from catcher dating back to last year, no production from first base this year. Obviously, Gurriel being 38, it's quite possible he's just done as a hitter, and they needed to, you know, they had given each of those hitters majority of the season to turn it around, and I don't, you know, with just one trade deadline at this point, you really can't wait any longer. And they were able to upgrade at both positions again without giving up anything that they're going to miss particularly. They give up a little value, but I don't think this is going to either of these is the type of trade where they will look back at some point and regret doing it.
What did they give up at the minor league level? We're not familiar with the guys.
So in the trade with Boston that got Christian Vasquez, they gave up two minor league players. Willier Abreu is by far the more valuable of the two prospects, the better of the two prospects. He was the only one who was on my preseason ranking for the Astros. He is a corner outfielder, potentially a very good corner outfielder with a cannon for an arm. He's got quite a bit of power, raw power that hasn't all shown up in games yet, but he's hitting the ball extremely hard, and that can often translate into more over the fence power as guys get a little bit older. And he's very disciplined. He has really become quite a patient hitter. I think he has about 70 odd walks already this season with a very strong on base percentage. He may not hit for a ton of average, but he's got a chance to be an everyday player between the patience, the on base skills, and the potential for at least 15 to 20 homers, maybe a little bit more. The other player they gave up, Emmanuel Valdez, has put up good numbers in AA and a little bit in AAA, but it's a very bad approach. He is extremely prone to expanding the zone, chasing pitches outside of the strike zone. I really do not like the way his swing works. I think he's really going to get exploited by major league pitching. He also doesn't really have a clear position. It's a bit of a secondary issue, but I think he could be sort of the last guy on the bench for a non-contender, but for a club like Houston, who's very unlikely to ever have any sort of major league value.
This is, I think, one of the interesting moves that they made that could really end up paying off is bringing in Will Smith. And I understand it; he's not right now where he was last year, but the Astros have had a lot of success at bringing in pitchers and getting the most out of them with some of the changes they make. How do you view Will Smith in terms of his potential to impact this roster, especially without a left-handed, you know, arm in the pen over the last couple of years?
Well, and he has generally over his career been more than just a lefty specialist. He is not just, you know, obviously that type of pitcher has become less valuable since we've had the change in rules anyway, where pitchers have to face multiple batters. You can't just bring in a guy to face one batter and then have another pitching change. And I think that's made pitchers like Will Smith, who have the capability to get left and right-handed batters out, at least to some extent, a bit more valuable. And we saw a couple of those guys traded yesterday. Lou Trevino went from Oakland to the Yankees. Same thing. Good pitcher, having a bad year, especially a reliever, where if you look and you believe that the stuff, the quality of what's coming out of his arm is still basically what it was, sometimes it's bad luck. Sometimes it is a tiny mechanical thing that you might see and decide that you can address, you can fix. And I thought that for Houston, I agree that they do have a good track record of getting more out of guys when it comes to the bullpen. Also, sometimes it is just a matter of saying, hey, we think this guy's stuff is fine. What's happened to him in the first 3 or 4 months of the season is probably just bad fortune, and we are willing to take a chance on a guy still having quality of stuff and the track record that lasts, that's more than just 4 months, to say we can turn this guy around. So I was absolutely fine with the pickup. Again, it's the kind of, I mean, I think what James Click has really done is he's addressed a couple of key needs and done so without giving up any of the system's top prospects, because the system is down. I think we've talked about this before. Their farm system is down after lots of trades, consistently drafting at the end of the first round, losing a couple of draft picks because of the sign stealing scandal. They're not in a position to trade a lot of their top prospects. They don't have that many left to go make maybe a significant, more significant trade.
Keith Law, The Athletic, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A report this morning that the Padres are in on both Soto and Bell. What would that take to get that done, Keith?
Well, I'm going to guess it would take, at the very least, probably C.J. Abrams, who's the Padres' top prospect right now, and Robert Hassel III, who is, I think I have him second on my Padres list. I had a couple of guys on my updated midseason prospect rankings the other day. That's two first-round picks, both of whom, that's from 2019 and 2020, and both of whom have turned out to be really strong prospects. My guess is it starts there with two or even three other guys from your system. They did make a trade yesterday with the Brewers to get Josh Hader, and managed to do so. They gave up value, but they didn't give up any of their elite prospects. None of the guys who were on that top 60 for me even close to it, which leaves them in a position to potentially make a Soto trade where they could give up. I mean, I don't think Washington is trading Soto unless they're getting two to three very significant prospects or young big leaguers who still have those 5-6 years of control.
Keith Law with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You like what the Yankees have done with Benintendi? We lost you for a minute. Keith Law with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You like what the Yankees have done?
I do. Frankie Montas fan, but they didn't give up very much to get him at all. I was actually talking to a scout who knows the Yankee system very well, and he said that trade was a joke. I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but certainly to go pick up Montas to make up for it. They don't know when they're getting Luis Severino back. So to pick up Montas to hopefully make 8 to 10 starts for them the rest of the season. Trevino, I just mentioned, his stuff is fine. He's not been very effective this year, but I think a little bit of that is just bad luck and just a randomness of baseball relievers. And they did so, once again, without giving up any of their elite prospects. I thought that was a really good trade for them. And again, I say that as somebody going in, I said, Montas is overrated. I'm not a huge fan. But you know what? If that's what the cost was, great. I do that trade every time.
What about Josh Bell? Any chance that Washington has priced themselves out now that the Astros are one of the suitors for Josh Bell? Now they're out of the mix for Josh Bell, I would assume. Is there any chance that Washington may have been too aggressive early on and now they're going to have to take less value for Bell today if they move him at all?
That's quite possible. Brett Bell is a bad first baseman, so either you've got to have first base open and be willing to deal with poor defense there, or you've got to you've got to have the DH spot open. And there aren't that many contenders that I think are in that position. Also, Bell's track record, you know, if we're talking about just beyond this year, he's having a great season this year, obviously, but his track record prior to this year has been pretty spotty. And I would be worried, you know, we saw what happened with Joey Gallo. He goes to New York, and suddenly he's not the same player. And when you're betting on a player's production in just a two-month span, do you want that risk, or do you want the certainty of a guy who's got a track record of being far more consistent over multiple seasons? So, yeah, I agree. And it might be why, if that rumor is true about Padres, it makes sense. Maybe they're trying to attach Bell in the Soto trade because they realize they don't have a lot of opportunities left for just a straight-up trade of Bell.
Keith Law here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Do you agree with James Click? He said it was the more playoff teams has made it harder to make trades because the sellers are fewer and they're asking for more.
Yes, I absolutely think that's true. I think because the sellers are far fewer, because I think it's harder for a lot of teams. And this could be the GM. Sometimes it's just the owner to say, no, we're out of it. We're going to sell. If you're close to a playoff spot, that's often a very difficult situation. I was a little surprised. I think they did the right thing. I'm surprised the Orioles traded Trey Mancini. They're not that far out of a playoff spot. Now, I don't think they're really a playoff contender this year. And I think they know that internally. This is also a team that hasn't made the playoffs, I think, in 10 years or something close to it. Trey Mancini is a huge fan favorite, both for his play and obviously he came back from cancer. To trade him is a bit of an acknowledgement, hey, we're not making the playoffs this year. But they're exactly the type of team that in this new playoff environment might say, ah, we're too close. We can't sell. And I give them a lot of credit for doing so, but I think that there's the exception now. When you see a lot of these teams, they're just close enough to say, ah, we can't do that to the fans. We've got to at least act like we're still in.
Yeah. Keith Law with us here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I know, busy day for you. We'll let you go. We really appreciate it, Keith. Thanks for your insights on this. We got till 5 o'clock, well, here, 5 o'clock, to see more stuff get done. Do you see Soto will get done today, right?
No, I wouldn't bet on that. I could very easily see them say, we're not getting the huge price we want. One thing I was saying when my phone cut out for a second, Mike Rizzo likes big, big names. And if he doesn't get a couple of big name prospects or young big leaguers in return, I could see him saying, nope, not doing this. I'm waiting for the offseason. So I still think there's a chance Soto is a National by tomorrow morning, and then we see him traded in the offseason.
How about Contreras?
Contreras, I would be shocked if he's not traded. I mean, that would be a mistake by the Cubs.
Yeah.
I think there's no reason for them to keep him.
He's already said goodbye to Wrigley Field. He's got to say hello again.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Be a little awkward.
It's
right?
Too awkward.
It's already been awkward. It would just get more awkward.
Can't have any more awkward. Hey, Keith, we appreciate your time. Thanks.
Yep, my pleasure.
All right. There's Keith Law, Athletic, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Michael Lombardi is going to join us at the top of the hour to talk about the Deshaun Watson situation. We'll do that. Right now, though, we're talking about some tequila.
Maestro Dobell is who we're talking about. Couldn't be happier. Had a cocktail with Maestro Dobell the other day. Did the Trinidad Sour, but just switch out the rye for the Maestro Dobell. And it comes out great. Used the Reposado is the tequila I used. There's so many different brands. There's so many different types, varieties they have, from the Reposado to the Añejo, the silver, which is what you're going to have with your margaritas or as a sipping, the Añejo, which is my favorite sipping tequila. And then, of course, the Cristalino. Cristalino basically combines three different types of tequilas, charcoal filters, ages it for a very distinct finish. And the flavor profiles are going to be great for a variety of people. It really doesn't matter what you like the most about tequila. They're going to do it for you. 11 generations of tequila makers in Tequila, Mexico are getting it done on a consistent basis, and you're going to love it. This is your opportunity to get a top-flight tequila without paying outrageous prices. That's Maestro Dobell. Maestro Dobell, put it in on your top shelf. Maestro Dobell.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's good music there, RJ. Good stuff. What you know about The Cure?
That's the outfield.
Oh, that's the outfield, yeah. That's right. Josie's like on a vacation far away.
It's like you calling a...
That's right.
An infielder, this a is pitcher, their- an infielder, a pitcher.
This
pitcher sucks. 1100 OPS. Oh, second baseman. Yeah, that's
that's better.
Pretty good for a second baseman OPS.
This is the outfield's other song.
Yeah, there's.
They got two.
They got a few. They got a few. It's all off of like one album.
Right, right. But at least, hey, Josie's on vacation. There's
hey,
is a great song.
I heard a pretty interesting topic. So Aaron Judge, I look at a special little site every day that's got All Rise. It's an All Rise prop. It's basically, will Aaron Judge hit a home run? He's got 43 home runs. Every day they let you bet on if Aaron Judge will hit a home run. He's got 43 home runs. He's got...
What are the odds every day?
50. The odds every day are he's like plus 180.
That he will?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, plus 180 that he will.
Yeah.
Not as good as it should be, obviously.
Well, he hits one about every other game, so...
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's got 40.
That's what you get.
Yeah. He's on pace for 66 right now, which would be the American League record.
So that's the question that this group of this show ask. How do we view the home run record? We know Barry Bonds was roided out. He hit what is it, 74 is the record. That's not touchable. Like Aaron Judge would have to hit over 30, 73, I think.
73.
He would have to hit 30 to match Bonds in 50 some odd games left. Do we consider that the home run mark still? Or do you consider it Maris?
Well,
you have to. It's on the books. He's ruined. Barry Bonds ruined the home run record.
Well, it's not just. It's Mark McGwire ruined it, and Sammy Sosa ruined it before him. And then, because they've got. Maris is the American League record. So there's the home run record is 73, then 70. Remember, McGwire had 70, Sosa 66, McGwire 65, Sosa 64, Sosa 63, and then Maris is now seventh with 61. And then you go back to, Giancarlo actually hit 59 with the Marlins 1 year back in 17. But the American League record is still 61. I guess 73 is the record. I mean, none of the records. Like,
that's
what
the
is,
record.
What's the home run record? What's the most?
What do you mean?
How many home runs do you have to hit to beat Barry Bonds all time?
Oh, my God. I can't even remember that number anymore. I can't remember that number.
It's 762, I think. Yeah. 755 was Aaron.
He ruined it.
And 762 is
Barry Bonds.
He ruined. He ruined baseball.
I don't know if I'm going to say he ruined baseball, but he ruined the sanctity of the home run records, which was something that was looked at every year. Every year it was talked about. The 61 was such a really big deal. Seems so crazy that anyone, for Aaron Judge to hit 60 home runs would be incredible. That would be incredible to get to 60 home runs. And Barry hit over 70, where he was walked a ton of times. It's insane.
No, he was
excellent, and then he was also bolstered by steroids. So his excellence was, you know, the phrase on steroids. Basically, that's Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was already a great player. On steroids, it was a joke how good he was.
Yeah. He's got the record for most homers, 762, 2,558 walks, the all-time record for intentional walks, 688 intentional walks. You know how rare it is to intentionally walk someone? He's got 688.
Yeah.
Intentional walks.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But it was all, all because of one thing. All of those records. He couldn't be just great. He had to be the greatest ever. And hogs get slaughtered. And no Hall of Fame for you. So, 852 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Astros got better. According to most everybody, even Jeff Passan agreed that the Astros got better, and which is awfully difficult for Jeff Passan to say anything nice about the Houston Astros, but he did. We're going to have Mike Lombardi on in a little bit. We'll see what Mike Lombardi knows about our Houston Texans. We'll also have his thoughts about the Deshaun Watson situation. We do have this, Vernon Maxwell. Vernon Maxwell.
Where was Vernon, by the way, on this?
Vernon was on, what podcast was it? The Gilbert Arenas podcast.
Okay.
He was on Gilbert Arenas podcast.
That's what Gilbert's been doing with all
Mike,
his money.
MJ. And he was on there, and he, and by the way, he said, Ja, you ain't cooking MJ, by the way. Okay, you ain't cooking MJ.
I don't think Ja thinks he necessarily would. We've already gone through that. Was kind of a...
The thought was, remember, there was so much talk about at that time that, hey, the Bulls wouldn't have beaten the Rockets if they were around, and they had
MJ would have struggled to score to stop Ja.
That Vernon would have shut MJ down, and yeah, that was the thought. But that Michael Jordan struggled
not shut down.
Well, that Michael Jordan struggled against the Rockets because of Vernon Maxwell,
right?
I also got word that at one of the golf courses, the nicest golf courses here, that MJ often played 36 holes before games against the Rockets here.
Okay.
Which he may or may have not done in the NBA Finals as well. We don't know. MJ was
I just know he was 6-0 in Finals.
Yes.
But I still believe that Houston would have had a very legitimate chance of beating him because Houston was so Olajuwon heavy, and the Bulls had three centers who could not have handled Olajuwon.
No, they would have done. They would have gotten destroyed by Olajuwon. And Michael Jordan admits, I didn't want to play Olajuwon. He said Olajuwon was unbelievable. But here's Vernon talking about guarding Michael Jordan.
Or what was going through your head when you saw MJ coming up schedule?
Oh my goodness, man! You look at that when they bring out the schedule in the summertime when they put them damn schedules out, you look and you put that damn mark on Chicago and you the night before, as you ask me, man, it's sleepless nights, man. That be rough. I mean, thinking about this, what you got to do tomorrow, and you don't want to get embarrassed, and man, you know this motherfucker don't know how to stop coming at you. He gonna just like you, just keep coming and keep that damn foot on your throat, man, and he just keep coming, and man, you just have to do some that to him, try to do some to him that nobody else ever did to try to get him off his square. But you know, you can't touch him, you can't do nothing to him, man. So, and man, I just tried to do a that nobody else would do to him. But Mike is Mike, man. The best player ever, man, I ever played. Because I never thought I'd see nothing like that, man. I used to see the bottom of that motherfucking tennis shoes, man. When that motherfucker take off, spin on me so quick, man, I should be standing there. I'd be like, oh, where is he at? That motherfucker be like, boom. I'd be like, oh, Lord. I'd try to run back my head, man. Because everybody like, oh, he'd come up behind you. You know, Michael, he's some like, funny child. Yeah, he gonna run up behind you, hit you on your ass like that. Man, don't put your hands on me. You're on a different jersey, man. You don't tell
me. Different jersey.
That's what he do to you, man. But Mike, man, is the best, man.
That's funny.
It's still funny to me that some people actually believe Vernon.
That's
Maxwell's
his Twitter
account. It's actually Vernon Maxwell. I know who runs it. Y'all are stupid. I found out for a fact that ain't Vernon Maxwell. His Twitter account is nothing like what
heard. There would have been a bunch of F-bombs on his Twitter account if Vernon was running it.
You think
he
Vernon
could
cares?
Not control himself long enough
you
to throw an
Vernon
F-bomb
cares
on him?
About throwing an F-bomb on Twitter?
No.
Not in real life, Vernon.
All right, when we come back.
No, I think that actually is Vernon Maxwell. He's dogging the Jazz. No. It's not hard for somebody to dog the Jazz.
Michael Lombardi joining us on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about Lafayette, Louisiana. I'm looking at pictures of the Bayou, man. I used to love living in Lafayette. I did. I loved living there. I loved the food there. It was spectacular. The restaurants are great. Listen, you can find a little hole in the wall. There are all kinds of them on the website. Go to eatlafayette.com. This Acadian Superette. Looks like an Acadiana bar and grill with the burger with the egg on it. And this one here with this beef sandwich with all the coleslaw and pickles and everything. What? It just makes me nuts not being there right now and eating what a beautiful, beautiful meals all over. And I'm telling you, there are so many great restaurants in Lafayette. You will find one. And you go to eatlafayette.com and you're going to find the ones that are all participating in the discounts at eatlafayette.com. And this summer, you need a little getaway. Just drive down the road. You don't have to take a plane. It doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. You don't have to get to the beach. You can go over there to the bayou and check out everything that's going on in Lafayette and have yourself a great couple of days. It's so easy to get to. It's so fun. The hotels are affordable. The restaurants are affordable. It's eatlafayette.com. This summer, get to eatlafayette.com.
ESPN 97.5.